This is the Tom Likas Show.
Coke, weed, booze, lose, and speed.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
I might be the cartoon.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me. And here we are again with another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us in studio, here he is, it's criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Hi, Adam.
Nice to be here, Tom.
What's going on?
Well, you know, I was working on criminal cases, of course, and today we're doing criminal law. And this morning I had a case, and we were going to fight it, Tom. We were going to go the whole nine yards. Now, remember, I'm not doing, you know, typically your big dramatic murder cases or whatever. I'm doing cases of regular people that, you know, get into little problems and so forth, and domestic violence and the DUI, that kind of stuff. And this guy had been involved in something that ended up being a misdemeanor, and we were going to fight it, and we went into court, and he did sharp. He was wearing a suit and everything. He was looking beautiful. And we went into court, and he was standing there, and he said to me, I can't do this. I need to take a deal. Get me a deal. So we worked it out. I got him something pretty fair. But, you know, it was my feeling that he was innocent and he should have fought the whole thing the whole way. And you have to recognize, you know, we were, you know, teasing people for using the public defender and not defending themselves. But you have to realize, you know, seriously, Tom, how terrifying it is. It really is. And I'm not saying that these guys are wimps. I'm saying it's a very intimidating thing to go to court where you're face to face with a system and judges and so forth that can really destroy your life.
Right.
It's not a joke. And so I have a guest tonight. Is he here?
He is here, as a matter of fact.
I want to talk about this very subject.
All right. Let's put him on. He's calling himself Richard.
Richard, you there?
Yes, Adam.
Hey,
hi.
How are you?
It's me, and hello, Tom.
Hi.
Richard, you're a big fan of Tom's, right?
Hello, yeah.
I'm glad to hear it. No, it's important, yeah. You know? So, Richard.
Big fan of Adam as well. Thank you, Adam.
Of course, I appreciate that. God help us. All right.
Yeah.
So, you gotta ask to be taken out Adam Sachs style, okay? That doesn't come up that often.
Yeah.
I need more fans with that one. But, so, Richard, you're a regular guy, right?
Yes.
What's your approximate age?
I just turned 60 on last month.
Serious dude here, right? And you never got in any trouble your whole life?
Never a problem.
Okay.
Not an issue.
And where do you live, by the way?
One issue.
Where you live in the L.A. area or Ventura?
I'm in the L.A. area, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
I'm originally from New York, but
really?
Been in
took a minute
Southland.
3 seconds.
How many seconds? Yeah, I was just going to ask.
63 seconds.
63 seconds.
That's
in there,
a lot
Rich.
Of restraint.
Right.
I like it.
All right. So you know, former New Yorker. That's good.
Yep.
And this is like a wild story.
You were
driving your car and some schmuck went through a light right and hit you.
Yeah. Totally destroyed my car. My car spun around.
Wow.
Went into a brick wall.
Oh my God.
And
terrifying.
Both the airbags went off.
Oh
both
my
airbags
God.
Deployed.
Wow.
And I extricated myself from the vehicle.
Wow.
And within a matter of it seemed like 1 minute, a CHP officer was on the scene.
Unbelievable.
Wasn't I saying
the cops are really efficient?
Oh yes.
Can you imagine? Right. He had a cop on him within 60 seconds. It's amazing.
Right.
Keep going. I'm sorry.
And two witnesses at the scene, or at least one witness, as you know, Adam.
Right.
It clearly indicated that the other driver. And by the way, if there had been somebody in my if I had a passenger in a car, they would have been killed.
Wow.
And
crazy.
The witness, two witnesses, I believe, indicated the other driver was at fault.
Right.
The CHP officer put the flashlights in my eye and asked me if I had been drinking, and I said no. And
right.
His report, as you know, Adam, said alcohol was not a factor in
right.
the incident.
And more specifically, so, that the other driver was at fault.
Was at fault, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And then you get, anyway, but you're injured a little bit, right? So they transport you
right.
to the hospital.
Yes.
And you go to the local hospital, right? And tell
yes.
this is where it gets interesting. What happened then?
Well, I go in there, and they gurney me in there, and then they put me in what, the MRI or the CAT scan and some
right.
sort of machine, because
right.
I thought I had a broken rib or two. I had a glass in my arm.
Wow!
It turned out I had contusions to my rib. I was in extraordinary pain.
Wow!
So they medicated me.
Oh right, okay. So they gave you some painkiller.
Yes, they did. Yeah, they were pretty strong,
okay.
if I remember correctly. And then things, I just had a weird feeling, Adam and Tom, that something was not right. This was, you know, I was there, just hanging around for like 2 hours, and at this point, it's like what, maybe 1 a.m.
Right,
and
you're in the emergency room.
I'm in the emergency room.
Right,
and I walk out, and you know, I ask somebody at the desk, when can I expect to be released, or can I at least talk to the doctor?
Right,
and they say, you know, that person will be with you shortly.
Right,
and then out of nowhere, you know, two sheriffs show up.
Uh-huh.
You
getting this, Tom?
With the nurse.
So someone dropped a dime on you here.
Somebody made a call, and that's exactly what they did. And it was like, you got to be freaking kidding me.
So the nurse that was treating you moseys mm-hmm. down the hall and into your room with two cops.
With the two deputies.
Amazing. And then what? Immediately they start talking to you, questioning you. What did they say?
They start questioning me, and they say, "Do you want to do this test, whatever?" And I say no, and I don't answer any of their questions.
Now
the
thing that I'm thinking of is, first of all, it's really late at night, right? You're
mm-hmm.
tired, you're shocked, but also you've been given all these painkillers, right?
Absolutely, I'm totally on meds.
So you must have been like out of your mind.
It was surreal. I was probably in a state of shock at
right,
that point.
Right.
I
think it's pretty cruel. I mean, it seems to me that you're being treated in the hospital. You've already
mm-hmm.
been at the scene of the accident, and the CHP guy said it's all the other driver, and you're fine, and don't sweat it. And they're sitting
right.
here. You got all these contusions and glass in your face and all this nonsense. And
mm-hmm.
you're in the emergency room, but they're keeping you there waiting for the cops to arrive. That's unbelievable.
Right. Yeah, you're waiting for their donut break to end so they
right.
can come and bust my balls.
And then they're saying to you, hey, let's do a field sobriety test and touch your nose and all that bullshit, right?
Mm. Right, and I did not do that, but they did another blood test,
right.
if I remember correctly.
But let me ask you something. This is really important, Richard. This is for the other guys. How did you keep it together? How did you keep your composure that you didn't, you know, just melt in front of the cops like so many guys do?
Well, I got to be perfectly honest, Adam. I'm not being patronizing. I just remember what you said on the show time and again.
Right. Really?
And I said to myself, I got to shut the fuck up. And
all right, Tom, give us the applause.
Shut up.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm really, I can't, you know, I've said it so many times, I can't emphasize it enough.
Mm-hmm.
So the cop's kind of trying to talk to you. What did you really, I mean, you know, you're like probably freaked out. Like, what did you say? You don't want to be nasty, right? You said
I was very respectful,
uh-huh.
but these guys were total assholes.
Well,
I answered
right?
the questions like, what's your name?
Right.
Do you have any tattoos? Do you have any? The motherfuckers asked me, do you have like any sexually transmitted diseases or HIV?
Really?
No, fuck you.
Like
fuck
they're talking to you almost like they're treating like they're one of your doctors, right? You're in the emergency room, right? Do you have a sexually transmitted disease? You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, what does that have to do with anything?
Right, right.
And they handcuffed me to the. To the bed.
Let me. This is amazing. So they handcuff you to the bed with the with the glass in your arm, right?
Right. I've got contusions. I've got my arm is bandaged up, and this is what they do to me. And like I'm Mr. Mild Mannered guy. I'm like,
no,
you
but
know,
I mean, what are you going to do?
Right out of the Donna Reed show.
You're going to make a run for it, you know?
I say, what am I going to do? Run down the street attached to the freaking gurney
I've seen in the movies, you know, like you have, I'm sure, where there's a guy who's accused of murder or something, you know, and they have a cop watching him in the hospital, and they handcuff him to the equipment to make sure he doesn't run, you know. But, I mean, you seem to me relatively, you know, what's the worst they're going to charge you with? It's like a DUI or a misdemeanor or something, you know? Mm-hmm. You're not exactly going to disappear, and you're John Q. Citizen, right? You live in the area, for God's sake. And you said you're almost 60, right? So you're not exactly, you're an older guy.
I'm almost 60, but, you know, I don't look like I'm 60. I'm in great freaking shape.
I know, but you're not you're not a track athlete, you know?
Right. No, I'm not. I don't fit the profile or whatever that might be.
Right, right. So anyway, so the cops talk to you and they arrest you in the hospital, right?
Right.
That's uncanny.
But they never. I don't recall them ever telling me I'm under arrest. They just say we're going to the freaking station.
Right. Like you don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice.
And they're encouraging you to make a statement, but you kept quiet. Thank you, God.
I didn't say a freaking thing.
Right. Right. So. And so then you went to the station. So this is like your local police station. And they and then they took your blood, right?
Not at the station.
Oh, no, back at the hospital.
Back at the hospital, yeah.
All right, so at the station, where they wrote you up and let you go, or what was the deal?
No, they threw me in a – so we're at the station now, and maybe it's 2:30 or 3 in the morning,
amazing.
And they throw me in a misdemeanor pen, and they –
This is with your this is with your bandages. That kills me. I can't believe that.
I couldn't even get out of the back of the squad car. I was in so much pain.
And plus, you've been doped up, right? They gave you all these narcotics or whatever.
Yeah. I could barely move, and they were just, like, laughing at me like I was a wounded pet
something. So cruel.
And they took the laces off my sneakers so I wouldn't hang myself.
Right, right. Nice. No, it's true.
Fucking
they're afraid. No, they're afraid of suicide. That's true. They take your belt and your laces. That's very normal.
And they, you know, not a joke, Tom.
But Tom's, the audience has to know. Tom is cracking up. I'm trying to keep them together here.
Yeah.
I am.
It's unbelievable.
It's psychotic. It's unreal. It's true, though. You know, it's a real story. It's unbelievable. Every time I hear it, I can't believe it.
No. At around 7:30 in the morning, they released me.
Unbelievable.
And I walked down the street to the local... to the local community athletic center.
Yeah, they just kind of leave you in the middle of nowhere, right? Goodbye.
I needed to lift it or Uber
but
it back.
Your car's been totaled. That's funny. That's the worst part
of all.
Yeah.
So the nurse was under
this is really important. The nurse, later on, when I did my investigation, the nurse said that the reason that she called the police is she was afraid you were going to drive. And that's really self-evident that you weren't going to drive because your car had been totaled.
So, hello.
I don't know where she came up with that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man. That's just so wild. Okay, so anyway.
Unbelievable.
So then you hired me, right? So that's the good part of the story.
Right. So 7:30 in the morning or 8 in the morning, I'm back at my house. I burned the clothes that I wore. I took a freaking bath. I took a nap, and I called you by 1 or 2 in the afternoon the next day.
Good thinking. Yeah. So you were charged.
There was no
I'm sorry.
There was no other alternative. There was no question.
Okay, so you were charged. You were charged with the DUI. Is the bottom line?
That's correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know what's really interesting, and people say this to me sometimes, and I hate to even say this to you, but you know your blood test did show that you were over the limit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I get people that say to me all the time, you know, I know that I was over the limit, so what's the point of fighting it? You know? Well, no, seriously, people say that to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say, listen, I'm guilty. Well, I'm just going to have to plead guilty. And the answer is, you know, it's a little more complicated than that. And although your blood tests show that you were over the limit, They had done so many things, and I've always explained this to people, you know, procedurally wrong, that there was a whole list of things that I was able to do to fight the charges. So, as you know, a DUI case has two prongs. The first is the Department of Motor Vehicles, which is about your license. And then the second prong is the criminal aspect, which is in the criminal courts. And so the first thing I did was I attacked the DMV, and we went through a series of hearings, and I got it dismissed, right? So that was great.
Yes, you did. I had my temporary license back in my hands, I'd say, at the most, 3 weeks after contacting you, probably less than that. Yeah.
And then thereafter, we got the whole thing dismissed, so you got your driver's license saved.
Hell yeah.
So that was great.
It hasn't showed up in the mail yet, but it's on.
Seriously? They're still playing with the license? Well, you've got this, your license is clear, so that shouldn't be far behind. What a lot of people don't realize is, you know, when you get a DUI, the police at the scene will confiscate your driver's license. That's really traumatic, you know. Driver's license is not only for driving, but it's a regular form of ID, you know. In America, we don't have a national ID card the way other countries do. A lot of countries have a national ID card. And, you
yes,
know, here when you're at the bank and everywhere else, people want to see your driver's license. And a lot of people are shocked. The cop keeps your license, right? It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, like, a pile of them, like his trophies. They put them in their pocket. They actually have them, like, in the front of their thing where they're holding your thing. You can see the license through the little pocket protector while they're investigating, and then they keep it. So we got your license clear, so that was pretty great. And then when I started doing something that I don't know if every lawyer does this, and I hope they do, but I started doing a real serious analysis and investigation in due diligence of everything that happened to you. And what I determined, and we talked about this, and you and I must have gone over the story 100 times by now, but when you told me this story, what was fascinating was that you had been in the accident. The first cop, the CHP officer on the scene, had said that the other driver was at fault, that you and there was, you know, you had not done nothing wrong, and therefore, you know, when you were transported to the hospital, you were being treated for an accident that you didn't cause, and he said that there was no issue of alcohol or any other substances in the accident. That's number
one. Keep
it
in writing.
Yeah, in writing. We have an accident report. So then you get to the hospital, and what we now know is that the nurse who was the charge nurse, so she was like the main nurse who was treating you. This is unbelievable. She independently decided that you must be intoxicated. I think she looked at your blood test or whatever also, and she delayed you being released, and that's why you were sitting in the room for so long, and called the police on her own initiative, and then had them come to the emergency room while you're being treated. You're supposed to be in a safe haven and being protected as a patient, and you're supposed to have confidentiality and doctor-patient confidentiality and all this other stuff, and she brings the cops into your room while you're still bleeding with the glass in your arm, and points and said, yeah, that's him right there. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Adam, they knew each other.
Yeah.
I know they knew each other.
Oh, for sure.
This is not the first time they've done that. Yeah.
I'm sure they've done this to other people. That's the worst part of it.
Well, it's the last time she's done it.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. There's a reason it's the last time. But you know what's pretty remarkable to me, and this is one of the reasons people say, oh, I don't want to complain, I don't want to make a problem. You know, one of the reasons that you complain, and you should complain, is because this has probably happened to other people. And if you don't do something about it and put an end to it, it's going to keep happening to other people. And that's what's disgusting. I mean, if you want to take the bullet and you don't care, it's really wrong, because there are other people that aren't aware of their rights. There are other people in this world, and, you know, your fellow citizens, your fellow whatever, human beings here, who are getting screwed one after another by this nonsense. And we put an end to it. And I'm going to tell everybody how that is. What ends up happening is that this nurse and this cop, like you say, were friendly. And they actually, in the reports, they referred to each other, believe it or not, the policeman referred to her by her nickname. Remember that?
Yes, by her ethnic nickname.
Yeah, she had this little cutesy nickname that he was calling her, that she had contacted him and told him whatever, and some quotes. And as you know, and most people know this, that in the basis in the United States of criminal law, In order to make an arrest, a police officer has to have, you know, the probability and has to have probable cause. And this is a kind of high standard, actually. We were talking about this. I don't know if you remember a few weeks ago, Gary and I were talking about, you know, probable cause and different circumstances and what the policeman can see. And there was a TV show that Gary liked where they were talking about, like, if the cop could smell marijuana or he could look in the car and see a powder on the floor or something.
And, yeah, that was a great episode.
Yeah, yeah. In your case, the probable cause that the cop cited in making your arrest on drunk driving was the statements of this nurse of his, who was his friend, who had been your nurse. And the whole point of it is that she has no right by law to make those statements. And when I started digging into this case and I discovered all this, and then I made the complaints against these people and started dealing with your case, and I want to be mindful to the people listening that you were above the limit. So there's no doubt about it. I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean, it wasn't completely insane. And, you know, people say, should I get a lawyer even if I know I'm wrong? It doesn't matter, okay? Because the bottom line is, what happened to that nurse?
Hello?
Yeah, what happened to the nurse?
Fired.
She was fired, Tom. She
love that.
She was, well, modern fired. She was asked to resign.
Yes.
You know, that kind of story. In disgrace. And she's not going to be getting a job at another hospital. And what happened to the cop?
He mysteriously resigned.
Yes.
To a...
resigned force. Transferred to something we're not even sure where, parts unknown.
Right. He's, you know, hunting bears and... You know,
is that what it is?
Sierra Madre or something like that.
Hunting bears in Nebraska, is that what it was?
some bullshit, like, yeah.
So he is in a very diminished capacity. I mean, the reality is that in the end, when I went to court, which is criminal court, and they were talking about prosecuting you, when I explained all of this to the judge, the case was dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
And you ended up, what, how many days in jail did you spend with this? I mean, that was it. Nothing, right? The whole thing's disappeared.
Poof. Like a dark cloud. Gone.
Can you believe that, Tom?
Thank you, Adam.
Wow.
Now, we were talking about this a few times, right? This is really important, Richard, right? This is a life lesson, okay? Our parents told us that the most beautiful words in the English language are, you know, I love you, right? But what are they really?
May I answer that?
Yes, of course.
Case dismissed.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Gotta love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the truth. Anyway, it was beautiful representing you, and I know you're feeling a little sick today, but you said you had a touch of flu. So I feel
a lot better now. But
I'm glad to hear it. I feel better talking to you now on the air, and I really appreciate you taking a little NyQuil and coming on. I appreciate it. DayQuil, I guess.
Thank you, Adam. Much. Thank you, Tom. This is great.
It was great representing you.
I'm glad you came on, Richard. Thank you.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'll do it again, but in another, in a different way.
More positive circumstance.
There we go.
Just don't get married or anything, okay? We'll avoid that other
one. No. I'm going to take a little vacation.
There you go.
Good
That's
idea.
The spirit.
All right, Richard.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks so much.
So is that something else, Tom? Can you believe
that? That's an amazing story. And here he was. You know, had they done it right, they could have nailed him to the cross.
He was dead beyond dead. And they had evidence and everything. And they just twisted it upside down. But he had to have a lawyer, me, go in there and literally pull off the Band-Aid and see what's going on in there.
Yeah.
And the more I dug into it, Tom, the more I saw how rotten it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point.
Oh, my.
Case dismissed.
Unreal. I will take some take a break. We're taking some phone calls coming up here. I'm going to ask you a question. It might be a little bit off your bailiwick, but
oh dear.
Hopefully you'll have some interesting response.
Is this a new normal problem?
No.
Okay.
No. Those you already know about.
I thought this was a new one.
No. Well, I wouldn't tell you here. This is where I would, cold cock you with that.
No, this is going to be one of these, can I sell wine in Texas? Adam?
No. This is something completely different.
Okay, great.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Adam Sachs is here in studio. Criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, that is. And if you have got legal questions, maybe they've popped you for a DUI or stopped you and smelled weed in your car, or maybe you attempted to kill someone, or maybe they said you did. All right. It's any kind of criminal defense issue. You can call in right now and get your free legal advice at this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. It's 901-3000-866.
Coast to coast.
Around the world.
And across the universe. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank at 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-866. All right. Here is an issue that has come up with multiple people I know, as you probably have guessed.
Yes.
I know many people who are immigrants to this country. And in several cases, the people I'm talking about, they've got green cards, or they've got green cards in progress or whatever. Some don't. But here's the deal. We keep seeing these stories. And I don't want to turn this into a Trump thing. I'm going to turn it into a legal question. Please.
You know it's going to turn into a Trump thing one way or
another.
It
really shouldn't, because here's the deal. So I know multiple people with green cards who have never bothered to get around to becoming citizens.
Right.
And now we keep seeing these news stories that say that they're going to find ways to do mass deportations of people. Today, I was listening to was KNX in the car, and they were saying that among the things rumored to be coming out is saying that they will be looking for people, not dreamers, people affected by the DREAM Act.
Right.
They are looking for people who have committed crimes.
Right.
But they could be something as simple as shoplifting, littering, or
right.
traffic violations. So there were people listening to me right now who might have a green card who've never bothered to make it official and never bothered to get their citizenship. Now,
right.
when I hear a story like this, I call my friends on the phone. I say, have you got an immigration lawyer? Have you gone in yet to take your exam? Because, you know, you could get swept up in this stuff.
Right.
Now, am I paranoid, or is this something that people ought to be paying attention to?
Okay, I'm with you. So the great thing about being a citizen, this is really the critical difference. A lot of people, like you say, have a green card for, you know, 15, 20 years, and they never get their citizenship.
Right.
And the one disadvantage is you can't vote, which a lot of people say, who gives a shit, you know,
right.
so what, you know? A lot of Americans that are born here and citizens and whatever don't vote anyway. So the bottom line is that the one advantage, no matter what, to being a citizen is that you can never be subject to deportation. Okay? What happened in this executive order that Trump did recently is that he included somehow the possibility of losing your green card, and that people were being given the form right at the airport to renounce their green card. Now, normally speaking, a green card, and we're talking about a non-conditional one.
Right.
There's a conditional one when you get married and you have to wait 2 years or whatever.
Right.
But once you have an unconditional green card, it's permanent residency. You're subject to being admitted on any basis as often as you want, leaving and returning to the United States as though it was a citizenship. And, you know, when you talk about these people that have passed the 5 years that have never bothered to fill out the form and become citizens, honestly, Tom, I think that's kind of stupid.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I agree with you.
So,
but here's the deal. Many of these people I've been telling for years, you ought to make it official.
That's just procrastination.
Right. But now I hear
yeah.
a story saying, well, we're going to be going after people who emigrated to the United States, even if they committed minor offenses.
Right. Well, the theory is that so Trump was trying to do this thing, and this is something that relates, you know, to cleaning up the immigration system, whether you agree with this or not, where they were saying, look, you know, we don't have anything against kids, we don't have anything against your average immigrant or whatever, person who overstayed the visa, but we cannot tolerate criminals. And I'm not talking shoplifting. I'm talking felons, you know?
Right.
So theoretically, I mean, by the way, even if you don't like Trump, I mean, you have to agree that if your average schmuck is a felon,
I have got no problem, by the way, with tossing.
Yeah.
Gang members.
Felons.
Anyone in prison. Goodbye. So I got no problem with that. But if somebody tore the tag off a mattress under penalty of law.
I think that's not so bad.
If somebody took too many ketchups at the Burger King drive-thru, really.
Are people still getting arrested for that?
I don't know if they are. But put it this way. When you hear a story like that,
What you have to be aware of is that things are changing.
Right.
Okay, that's the bottom line. And, you know, this is a conservatism in America, this thing about, you know, beefing up the wall on the border or cracking down. What's happening, I think, when it's very, very prominent in Europe, is that people are becoming more aware of the criminal aspect. And they're saying, look, if you want to be an American, you're going to do the right thing here, then we welcome you. But if you're coming here and you're cheating and stealing and hurting people and so forth, we're not going to tolerate it. And you have these examples of immigrants that have come, you know, illegally and been deported back and forth 10 times and end up running someone over when they're drunk or killing someone or whatever. There are a couple of high recognized cases of this. And these are things that are motivating it. Now, what ends up happening, if you think about it also, is that when they cast the net, they can cast it very widely. So let's say they do a raid and they arrest, 100 immigrants, right, that are, felons or whatever. Okay, so they're working on deporting them, and technically you're agreeing that they should be deported because they're felons. Okay, fine enough. But what happens when out of the 100, 6 of them have some bullshit misdemeanors? Right.
Well, I mean, they, among the things they said were minor
yes,
traffic violations,
saying.
Like you were driving 70 and a speed of 55.
All right. Well, I was thinking more like people. I have a lot of these people that get some kind of a minor violation and fail to appear in court because they're scared. So they don't go to court. Now it's not a minor violation anymore. Now it's a failure to appear, and there's a warrant out for their arrest. So let's say they arrest a bunch of people, then they're processing them. You know, these services are not humane. They don't think that way. And if you have, a couple of misdemeanors or whatever, you're just a law-breaking alien. So they're going to throw you out also. Or people say, oh, but what if it's a mother with children? Well, they're going to throw her out too. I mean, people are not recognizing the law doesn't think that way.
Right.
When the law comes and arrests your father, you cry. But
right.
they don't give a shit about that.
Right.
They don't say, oh, come on, he's got a 12-year-old. Let him go.
Yeah.
I mean, of course not. So, I mean, if I was talking to immigrants today, I would say, please, give me a call. I'll help you fill out the form for citizenship if you need some help. It's not that hard to do. If you've had your green card for, 3 years or 5 years or whatever it is for your circumstance, I think you should submit it and get yourself your citizenship.
Immediately.
So it's a done
right?
deal. It's not expensive. It's not that big a deal. It's beautiful. You get this nice certificate. You do
right.
this nice ceremony.
Yes.
Right? I think you should do that. And if you want to join this country, we welcome you. I don't care what your background is. God bless you. God bless the United States. Fantastic. On the other hand, if you're a permanent resident, you've got a green card, technically you've got most of the rights, and you should not be signing anything without a lawyer. So if you get arrested because you've been, with a felony or a misdemeanor or whatever, and some immigration official is telling you that you got to sign some form and renounce your permanent residency or whatever, you say, I really want to have a lawyer before I do something drastic.
Well, that's
like
the
this.
Other thing, by the way. And there's a couple of people in particular I have said, look, do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Talk to a lawyer, for God's sake.
Today. Do it now. Right now.
I think that's highly recommended. So that's number one. And on the other side of things, in different circumstances, there are going to be, I believe, some kind of programs. I know that a lot of people, just think that Trump is evil and that's it. I don't think that's the story. What I think is going to happen is that there is going to be some kind of a streamlining, and there's going to be something like the Dream thing and some of these other legislations to try to clean up the good people.
What about Milo Yiannopoulos? Is he going to be deported?
I don't think he's even trying to be a citizen. I think he was just a tourist here, as far as I know.
Really?
He works for Breitbart or whatever. That's
not anymore.
He resigned. Poor bastard. Listen, it all disappeared from Milo in about 24 hours. He lost his book deal, and he got his job, and they canceled him at the conservative political action committee.
Got exactly what he deserved.
I don't know. I thought he was a nice free speech advocate, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, well, and he loves speaking about blowing 13-year-olds, and there you go. That's
apparently,
what happens.
Apparently that happened to him when he was 13. I'm not sure.
No excuse.
Tom, now you've been a champion for free speech. Come on,
I am.
Be nice, you know.
I am, but I. But again, if you want to talk about blowing 13-year-olds or getting blown as a 13-year-old, and you're implying that somehow you endorse that, how can conservatives? How can conservatives support a guy who talks about stuff like this the way he does?
Confused conservatives.
Yeah.
I think, you know, even conservative is going to change a little bit, the meaning of the word, you know, in terms of the kind of evangelical Christian that we imagine. Because I think Trump is a conservative, but not exactly, right?
I don't even think he's a conservative.
Right.
But that's for another show.
Okay. So in all fairness to the government now, whatever it is,
yeah.
What I think is coming down the pike with your average... immigrant or whatever, I think that there is going to be a crackdown on the really criminal element, the element that the U.S. doesn't want. And then there's going to be a crackdown on the overstaying and the people that run across the border and that kind of stuff, okay? Because that's something that's not good also. But what I think is going to happen, which is going to be very constructive, is I think that there are going to be ways of taking the people that are already here, in particular people that are productive, people that have families, also people that are under 18 when they first came, so that's like these young people that grew up in America through no fault of their own weren't legal. And I think there's going to be some kind of a comprehensive thing where, and this is something that was done in the past too, where you're going to have a background check done, you're going to pay some kind of a fine. You're going to have to show that you've been paying taxes and you're living a clean life. You don't have a criminal record. And I think there's going to be a path to citizenship. I think that's what's going to happen. And I can understand very much now, considering that things are topsy-turvy and people don't know what to think, I can understand people being scared. I would be, you know, nervous if I was an illegal immigrant or an immigrant in these communities or whatever, that, you know, the next knock at the door might be the police or whatever. I don't think they're going to go house to house. I don't think that happens in the United States. But if you have... a green card for a long time, please get your citizenship. Don't be stupid, okay?
Got to do it right away.
Please. I'll help you if you want. Give me a call. But besides that, if you are living in this country, love this country, don't shoplift. Don't break the law. Don't be doing shit like that. Come on. That's crazy. When I talk to these people, they get involved in the craziest things. I know that people are nervous and the economy's tough or whatever, but, you know, you've got to come to this country and respect the law. You can't come here and start being a felon and then saying, you know, what do I do now? How do I get my citizenship? Because having convictions is going to cause problems. And I know people that have been in America for so long, they couldn't imagine going back to their home country. I mean, people don't even speak the language of their own home country. Can you imagine?
Right.
And they're going to get deported, and they're going to send you back to whatever after 20 years. What the hell are you going to do there? You're going to be a stranger there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's really nutty. And like I said before, with respect to this, I saw this nice thing. I was even thinking of doing this. I don't know how to get involved or whatever. I got to look into it. But there were a lot of lawyers that were going to the airport here and helping, you know, on a volunteer basis, a lot of the immigrants and so forth that were having problems with customs and, you know, immigration and all this. I really think no matter what the story is, again, like I was talking about before with my client who called in, you know, it's a very high-pressure situation. It's confusing. You're disorientated. It's 3 a.m. Maybe you've been on a long flight. When some customs or immigration or police or whatever put the form in front of you and say you got to sign this, tell them that you want to talk to your lawyer. You have to. You have the right to counsel.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that you're going to sign away your rights or your green card or you're going to exclude yourself, and there's all these rules about, you know, you can be excluded for 10 years at a time from the United States or whatever, excluded for life. Please, please, please don't sign. Please get a lawyer. Please try to get some help and be aware of that and be aware of these circumstances. I'm speaking to people that I think are mostly most immigrants that are good, decent people that want to stay in the U.S. They're not here to steal and cheat and lie. I think that that's, you know, an element that we don't want, but I think that most immigrants, honestly, are definitely not like that. Right, Tom? Come on.
Right. No, there's no doubt about that. But I was talking to one person today.
Really?
Who is online doing the do-it-yourself method. You know, here's the form N-400. Now, I'm just going to fill this out.
Yeah, hope for the best, huh?
And I'm just going to fill this out. And I'm like, why won't you hire an attorney to do that? It won't even be expensive.
Citizenship is priceless.
Well, and you've one incorrectly filled out form.
It could cost you a year.
In this environment.
Well, it could cost you a year. You know, you'll get the form back. It'll be rejected. I guess you can do it again. Maybe you get it right the second time or the third time.
Right.
Come on. Come on. Citizenship is priceless, man. I kiss my passport, you know? That's a beautiful thing to be an American citizen.
I just think in times like these, if you have a green card...
Don't leave it to chance.
Just make it happen. Get your citizenship as soon as possible. Don't wait.
I had a friend who was telling me he's a foreign-born person. And he's a close friend of mine. He was telling me that when he took a flight to the United States at one time years ago, he was looking at the woman sitting next to him, and she had an American passport. And she was holding it in her hand, you know, because I guess she was getting ready to show it or whatever. And he just looked at it with such jealousy and awe.
Right.
That she was just casually holding it like it was, you know, whatever, like a pack of cigarettes, you know, just this thing in her hand, you know. And he was looking at it, and he was thinking, you know, with God's help, someday, somehow, maybe I'll have one of those, you know?
Right.
If that could ever happen, if that could ever be me.
Right.
And you and I, Tom, we're born here, so it doesn't mean anything, right? It's like no big deal.
Exactly.
But it is a big deal. And if that's in your future, please don't do the N-400 online, okay?
And don't go down to that woman at the UPS store who's helped other people fill out the forms.
Not her again.
That's the most amazing thing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, do you have kids? Oh, I do. You know, but I'm just going to have the girl fill it out. She's
Yeah, don't worry about it. She knows a lot about this.
She's been helping other people.
And you know, once you get your citizenship, you can apply for your parents. You can apply for your relatives, your brothers and sisters, your other extended family, your children. I mean, that's a gift that keeps on giving. And look at the case that we did at the beginning of the hour here, where I had this guy who was dead to rights in a DUI, and we got it dismissed. Right? Come on.
Right?
Look at the difference that an attorney can make for you in terms of experience and knowing how to do it properly. It's the same with immigration.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Let's take a break. We have calls coming in for Adam, and some of those are your calls right now at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number for criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Free legal advice if you call 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Hey, have dinner with us. We're meeting P1s in New York City, Los Angeles, Detroit, and San Diego. San Diego's a sellout, but you can still join us for the three dinners that are happening in June. New York City, dinnerwithtom.com. Los Angeles, dinnerwithtom.com. And to join us in San Diego, same deal, dinnerwithtom.com. We're going to have a dinner. We'll sit privately and enjoy our evening. And the fact is, it's not going to be open to everybody, only those who have a seat at the table, and we want you to have a seat at the table. So get on it right now. Go to dinnerwithtom.com. All right, we continue with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Here comes Raymond in Dallas on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Yes, Tom, I just want to say that I just recently found you like a week ago. And
wow.
I can't wait to get through all of your podcasts. So thank you for having me.
Of course.
And I love your work.
Thank you.
My question is for Adam, though.
Sure.
Pretty much we were peaceful protesting. We were outside of a police substation with signs that said, F the police.
F the police.
We were open carrying, and we had our middle fingers. We were flipping off officers as they were coming in.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I think we lost
they
you.
They approached us.
Yeah?
Sorry?
Sorry, I think we lost you for a second there. Okay.
So what
okay, but,
So what happened?
Well, they ended up by detaining us, saying, you know, it's offensive. Identify yourselves. Well, for Texas 3802, from what I understand of it, is that you don't have to identify yourself unless you've been lawfully arrested.
That's
and
right.
For them to stay, then be detained for offensive speech was kind of, you know, the stance that I was going. So I didn't identify. They arrested me. And, well, they arrested, like, two of us.
Wow.
They charged us with class B misdemeanor. Class B misdemeanor with a year in jail. They denied me a PR bond. They charged me with the obstruction of a roadway in what they call the county.
Wow.
That's since been dropped, but now the city is still trying to press because I guess they separated for county and city charges or something like that. But now the city is still trying to press and take to jury trial the disorderly conduct and failure to ID for flipping off an officer, because the police statement said that with that action and the signs that they had reason to believe that it was an offensive in nature, and that led them to believe that we were trying to fornicate with the police.
Fornicate with the police.
Yeah, that's what it said on their statement.
That's crazy.
So my question is, they've already denied a motion to dismiss, and I know that, you know, juries can go south. How do I put the pressure on them when there's already case law saying that
do you have a lawyer?
Not against the law? No, I can't find one.
So would you have been going with the public defender?
No, because the ones that I was arrested on, those charges, those were dropped, the more serious ones.
No, I understand.
But now they're trying to charge me. I'm sorry?
It sounds like you've been going to court a few times.
Yeah, this has been going on for a little bit, but I was going to go for a public defender, but they said that I had to go to the arraignment place and speak to the judge there, but I showed up there and they said that it wasn't on docket, that it had already been dismissed.
Okay.
So they arrested me, forced me to
I understand. This is sounding like serious stuff, so definitely give me a call after the show and I'll try to help you. I've got to tell you, you know, you do have the right to protest. But, like, for example, on Trump's inauguration day, there were some really heavy-duty violent protests in Washington, D.C. And as I understand, more than 200 people got arrested and charged with felony rioting. And believe it or not, you could serve 10 years for that. So what you're talking about is a little...
This protest only had a total of 6 people.
I understand, but it makes me a little nervous, you know? There have been some examples of people giving the finger to the cops and whatever. At one point, that went all the way to the Supreme Court, believe it or not. And that's considered free speech, so that's good. But at the same time, when you're talking about some of these other things, they talk about, you know, vandalism and terrorism and, I don't know, fornicating with the police. That sounds bizarre. So I think it's definitely something you should take really seriously. And I'll let me talk to you after the show, and I'll try to certainly help you.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds good to me. And be careful. Don't go to court without a lawyer. God.
All right, Raymond. Thank you. 901-3000, Tom. Here comes our friend Octavio in Santa Clarita. Octavio, you're on the Tom Likas Show, and Adam Sachs is sitting right there with you.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam. How are you?
Hey, Octavio.
Great.
What's up?
Hey, I just want to comment regarding the green card and citizenship to
sure.
All the listeners out there. I just did it on my own. I had my green card since 2011, so 2016 was the fifth year, and I applied for it in December, and it was pretty easy.
Okay.
So for all the people out there, I mean, you can do it on your own. I mean, if you need counseling, I mean, they can certainly call you. They need some help. It's moving along. I already got their letter saying that they accepted it, and I got my fingerprint, so it's moving along.
Good.
So that is good. And the question I have for you, Adam, is that I always hear you saying that you shouldn't talk to the cops, and unfortunately I haven't had any issues with that. But what would you say specifically if the cop is getting obnoxious with you or is asking too many questions? You say, for example, quote-unquote, I respectfully decline to ask you a question. I would like to call my lawyer, my counsel, or what do you say exactly?
Yes, exactly that. You know, officer, I understand. With respect, please don't be angry. I just really don't want to talk about it. I want to have my lawyer present.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to, a lot of people are wise asses. Hey, show me your warrant, you know? You don't have to be like that.
Right, okay.
You know, just say, officer, I'm really sorry. I just don't want to talk about this without my lawyer. I know you understand.
Okay.
I just my rights mean a lot to me, and I want to assert my right to silence.
And then if they insist and if they keep asking, I keep saying the same thing and again and again.
Yeah, you can stop answering at some point if you like.
Okay.
No, they'll screw with you.
Sense.
They'll get in your face. They'll tell you, oh, you're making a big mistake. You know, I'm trying to help you. I'm here to help you. I'm trying to make a deal with you. You know,
okay.
You say, okay, where's my lawyer, please? And I told you the big one. You say, wait a minute. You're wearing a hat, and you have a badge on your chest. And that means that you represent law enforcement. And so I need to have someone representing me. And that would be my counsel. And I don't see him. He's not here. So I want him here when you're talking to me.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. I hope I don't ever have to do that. But if I'm in that situation, I'll do that.
It happens to the best of us.
I will call you.
And listen, I'm glad you did your green card or your citizenship on your own. But you got to admit, you know, it's treacherous, right? I mean, it's not for the faint of heart,
right.
You know?
Right. It's a long form. It's somewhat of a pain in the ass. And the thing that took the most time was because I'm traveling for business. I mean, I had like, I don't know, 150 stamps of my passport that
I
had to.
You have to document all
in and out.
Your travel has to be accounted for. That's true.
Right. But that was the most painful thing. I mean, everything else was. Everything else was easy. It's just you have to be. I mean, you have to read everything in detail, and you have to be accurate on what you're answering and what you're doing.
Right. I think having a lawyer is good advice.
But yeah, I think so.
I'm glad that you're becoming a citizen, and welcome, of course.
Yeah. Thanks. And that was it.
All right. Thanks, Octavio. Appreciate the call. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out on Facebook and also on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And send me an email, which I love, adam@adamlawyer.com, and I answer them personally.
All right, and if you missed an opportunity to talk to Adam, don't worry. He'll be back here again, and you can talk to him live coming up on Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yes.
Swedish politician says that workers should be able to take sex breaks during the day.
Okay.
I think I'm signing off on this. And apparently, they think it's Northern Sweden. They think this is going to pass. It's a bill.
I'm all for this.
Yeah, I mean, why not? By the way, after the Finns and the French, Swedish employees, full-time employees, work the least already in Europe.
And they got a fine way of life.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
You could ask a kid I grew up with in Pennsylvania, and his name is Maurice, and he went over there, found himself a Swedish broad.
Some people call him Maurice.
Married her.
Some call him the gangster of love.
He is the gangster of love of Malmo, Sweden. Right. The motherfucker's got it made.
Well, I'm not sure about Sweden.
Made. He's got it.
The French are entitled to at least 5 weeks off a year. 5 weeks. Plus, up to 22 days for something they called reduction of working time. That's if you choose to work over 35 hours a week, you're allowed to take 22 more days off.
Get the fuck
out of here. So basically, according to Eurostat's calculations, the average French salaried worker is out of the office 10 and a half weeks of the year. 10 and a half weeks. What are we doing? I don't know what Mike Epps is up to, but he's being stupid now.
Can we go back to Sweden for a second?
No. Apparently, he must have been at the NBA All-Star game because he was in New Orleans. At the Harris Casino at 4 a.m. on Saturday. And according to the story, some guy comes up to Mike Epps and his friend and says, "Hey, you're Mike Epps." And according to the guy, Mike Epps and the guy, his friend, start beating the guy up.
Just for saying hey?
Yeah, just for saying hey. So much that the guy literally had to duck and cover until the security guys came and stopped them from beating him down.
Can you imagine how many people Adam Sachs would have to beat up by him saying, "Hey, are you Adam Sachs?" Right. They would start swinging.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. So that's not the worst, speaking of Adam Sachs. Your friend Mike Epps decides not to show up for court this morning on the case.
That's not good either.
No.
By the way, if this happened at Harris, at 4 a.m. on Saturday. You know, that this incident would have been covered by about 63 different camera angles in high def.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're on the casino floor, at a table, walking around, everywhere except for the bathroom. If this happened inside a stall, it wouldn't be covered by 63 different cameras.
Right.
But the fact that this happened inside a casino, I mean, it is guaranteed covered from every possible angle.
Well,
so if he didn't show up for court, as this states, he's in trouble, man.
Well, by the way, Mark Anthony is no dope. He's now dating.
He's very tiny.
He's now dating a 21-year-old model. Uh-huh. This is just days after his divorce was finalized to another model, that Shannon DeLima, right? Just days after that, now he's traded down to a 21-year-old.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, the other ones are better though. I think.
Well, all right. Now here you go. You're turning
I'm just
that.
Saying, Shannon DeLima.
She's a
ridiculous.
She's a Wilhelmina.
Yeah, they're all Wilhelmina.
Miami model.
Yeah, they run around.
How do you go? Oh, she's all right.
No, I'm saying the one he married is ridiculous.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, give your 21-year-old a chance here. Her name is Mariana Downing.
Yeah. Yeah. Downing Street. Look at her. Mark Antony.
Mark Antony. Right.
Mark Antony, I'll tell you. Right. Yeah. He's about like, to me, he looks like he's 5 foot
all right.
Even.
Doesn't matter. He's fucking killing it.
Right.
All right.
I know.
It's plenty more.
I took a dump bigger than him this morning.
I hope you're proud, dude. You and your big turds. Plenty more at news4guys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Plenty more. I took a dump bigger than him this morning.
I hope you're proud, dude. You and your big turds.